Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for our consideration today comes from the gospel lesson in Luke chapter 20. There came to Jesus some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children, and the second and the third took her, and likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife." And Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now, he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Then some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well," for they no longer dared to ask him any question. This is God's word. At least the Sadducees were consistent. They said, there is no resurrection, nothing beyond death, and they lived that way. The questions they asked Jesus in today's gospel about the family and the one wife marrying all of those men were meant to make the idea of resurrection seem absurd. Educators are often fond of saying that there's no such thing as a stupid question. Have you heard that? And yet there are questions that are asked in order to entrap. Questions that are asked in order to paint the person being asked the question into a corner so that any answer that they give makes them sound foolish. And I would submit to you that's precisely the kind of question the Sadducees are coming to Jesus with here. But as I said, they were consistent in their disbelief that resurrection was true. You see, modern Christians often claim to believe there is a resurrection, yet do they live in a way that supports the claim? To make this a little more personal, do we live as if this side of the grave is all there really is? As many of you know, our creeds confess the faith, "I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting." Do our words and actions match? Here's the painful truth. Life that's arranged in such a way that all our goals, every single last one of them, are found on this side of the grave, that's not a life of faith. It's the life of the Sadducees and all those who deny a bodily resurrection. What I mean is this, and here's what's at stake. What happens when our highest good, our one thing above everything else, becomes scratching items off of our bucket list before we die? Death at that point becomes your functional God. And it's a tyrannical God. It's a cruel God. It's a God that keeps you in constant fear, even when you're busy and doing fun things and living it up, always in the back of your mind. You're doing that knowing the end could come at any minute. And then what? The purpose of Jesus coming to earth, dying on the cross, and rising again was to break this very curse of death, to set us free from its tyranny. Death is a cruel, cold, mean-hearted God. You don't want it. So, if Jesus' death on the cross was to deliver us from our lifelong bondage to fear of death, why is it that so much of the time in many of us that fear is still right there? Why are we so nervous about getting it all in before the last bell rings? Why are we so worried death is going to come for us before we have accomplished that big thing that we want to do? Why are we in the habit of thinking of our beloved dead as gone, wiped out of existence? A short walk through Scripture can truly help us to set our minds in the right place. Let's go back to the portion of Scripture that Jesus is reflecting on in his answer to the Sadducees today. When Moses met the Lord in a burning bush, that Lord proclaimed, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And notice the way the Lord is speaking there. He's not the God of three dead men who no longer exist. He's the God of three men who still live in him. The God who rules worlds beyond our comprehension and who comes and speaks to Moses from the beyond, from a place that we just can't touch. And we can fast forward from there to the mountain of transfiguration. Elijah and Moses appear as Jesus is being transfigured. And this is a window into a reality beyond any reality that Peter, James, and John ever knew existed. You see, the thing is, centuries had passed since Moses and Elijah were seen on earth. But there they are, speaking with our Lord Jesus. They are alive. They are recognizable as Moses and Elijah. Or if you go into the New Testament, we find a catalog of people who had faith. We find them in Hebrews chapter 11. We have a whole list of people who were looking beyond their graves to a greater good. Hebrews 11 verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received what was promised, but having seen it and greeted it from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." So what does that call us to believe? Well, we are absolutely called to have faith that God answers prayer. Yes, we are called to have faith that God will provide for us, that God heals, that God protects, he guides, he raises up laborers for the harvest, he even redeems the lost. But above all, we are called to have faith that the risen, living Lord Jesus, risen and living Lord Jesus, has completely changed what death is. You are called to have faith that throws off the fear of death and keeps throwing it off every time it rushes at you by fully embracing the resurrected Jesus. And it's this Jesus who said, "But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed," in the passage about the bush. when he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, now he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For all live to him. Did you hear what Jesus just said? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are still living to God. That means our loved ones who have died in the Lord are still living to God. And the life that we will live to God on the other side of death is not disconnected from this life. That life is the fruit of this life. The thief on the cross who cried for mercy here received mercy there. Those who are faithful to God here will find God faithful there. Those who are faithless here will find themselves denied there. But those who confess Jesus with heart and life here will be acknowledged there, welcomed there, fed there, rewarded even there. All a gift of grace. But there's even more. The reality of resurrected life begins driving our decisions. It drives our decisions in this way. When we quit laying up treasures on earth and start laying up treasures in heaven. Again, our Lord Jesus taught very clearly, do not lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust consume, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not consume and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The more our hearts are taken up with God and with Jesus' redeeming love, the less that we'll feel any need to hoard things or to make a name for ourselves. I mean, think about it. What need is there to try to get more stuff before it's too late? Or what need is there to glorify myself when I can walk through life with the God of the living, knowing that the only treasure that will survive the grave is the unstoppable love of Jesus? You are called to have a faith that throws off the fear of death and keeps throwing it off every time it troubles you. How? By fully embracing the resurrected Jesus. So, look to him. Jesus didn't turn away from his cross. He went straight at it. He got up from his knees at Gethsemane and went right for his goal. So look to him and see that instead of aiming away from his death and pretending that it doesn't exist, he went straight. And you yourself can have that same confidence that on the other side of your final cross, in other words, your death, the Father waits. The God of the living himself, arms open, ready to welcome his child. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, with your Son and Holy Spirit, we approach you in awe and humility today. Death is all around us, it seems. We can even fall into the trap of thinking that death rules this world, but it does not. Heavenly Father, you do. And your son's resurrection from the dead has changed what death is for the believer. Lord Jesus, you said, your Father is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Remind us today as you meet us at your table, we live to you now and always. Your love for us never changes, and it never will. In Jesus' name, we ask all of these things. Amen.